Hey everyone, Jason Malone here. Welcome to the Jesus on Display podcast. Before we begin today's content, I wanted to say thanks for supporting us here at Fellowship Greenville with your gifts and your generosity. Because of your giving, we get to share resources like this podcast with you to help reach you wherever you are in your life with Jesus. If you'd like to support the ministry of Fellowship Greenville, you can head to fellowshipgreenville.org/give to get started. Thanks so much for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's episode. Anybody that walks this planet, none of us get through it unscathed without pain and suffering, loss and hardship, difficult days, difficult weeks, difficult months, difficult years, for some, difficult decades. There are many, and you guys know this, there are many songs or psalms that David wrote. In Psalm 2, David articulates finding protection and comfort in the knowledge that God would eventually put all things right. In Psalm 7, David articulates there is rest and there is safety in God's sovereignty over life's circumstances. And so when you come here to 2 Samuel 22 or over in Psalm 18, you realize when David thinks about God, it is not as some far off, disconnected, aloof, not interested deity. David is saying, my God hears my cries because he is a God sovereign over my life. And even in the midst of the hard days and the hard things, he is a God who will make all things right in his time and in his way. Fellowship Greenville, what comes to your mind when you think of God? That he is your rock? That he is your shield? That he is your fortress? That he's your refuge? That he's your savior? Sovereign, working all things together for our ultimate good and his glory and fame. What David does next is he poetically begins to describe things that have taken place in his life. I know I read it once, but I want to read it again. This is what it says in verse 8. Then the earth quaked and trembled. The foundations of the heaven shook. They quaked because of his anger. Smoke poured from his nostrils. Fierce flames leaped from his mouth. Glowing coals blazed forth from him. He opened the heavens and came down. Dark storm clouds were beneath his feet. Mounted on a mighty angelic being, he flew, soaring on the wings of the wind. He shrouded himself in darkness, veiling his approach with dense rain clouds. A great brightness shone around him, burning coals blazed forth. Verse 14, the Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot arrows and scattered his enemies. His lightning flashed and they were confused. Then at the command of the Lord and at the blast of his breath, the bottom of the sea could be seen and the foundations of the earth were laid bare. And he reached down from heaven and he rescued me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, for those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress, but the Lord, he supported me. What is this? These verses? This is David using metaphor after metaphor to poetically talk about how God had delivered him, how God had been actively involved in his life, because he is a God who saves. Not just in theory, not just theological assent. No, he had saved David. And just a reminder for us that God was at work even when David couldn't see how it was all working. And the God who was at work in David's life, well, that actually is who God is. Like, even as David, I think, recounts in some of this metaphors he's using here, I think he's recounting the children of Israel being rescued, what took place at Mount Sinai, the parting of the Red Sea. And all of these things, even as David looks back, not only on his life, but history, all of these things become monuments of God's grace where we've seen him work. And David's going, I remember those moments and the moments that I need to trust that he too hears and sees and is working in the midst of my things. Hey, do you have? You do have. Do you realize that you have? monument after monument of God's grace, of where he has shown up and saved you. David is not just simply giving us facts about God. This isn't simply informative. He could have just said, "The Lord saves." This is more of a, I want you to grasp who God is, what God has done, how he has rescued me, how he has delivered me, because he is my rock, my fortress, my savior, my protection, my shield, my place of protection, because it's who God is, which leads to this question. That's a very legitimate question. Why? Why is he a God who saves? Verse 20, he has led me to a place of safety. He has rescued me because he delights in me. He rescued me because he delights in me. All of this we're reading today, the song, the psalm, it is a snapshot of David's theology. What comes to your mind when you think about God? Here's what comes to David's mind. My God is my savior because he delights in me. Is that true of you? As a follower of Jesus, not if he delights in you, because he does, but when you think about God, which is one of the most important things about you, do you think he delights in me, that he's a saving God because he loves you, and what you think shapes how you live and how you walk through life, even the hard things, especially the hard things. I was listening to a friend of mine the other day. He was giving a little bit of his testimony, and he said something that resonated with me that I think would resonate with some of you. He was talking about growing up in a family that had a rich tradition of a family that loved Jesus. But he made this statement. I thought it was so good. He goes, I never really struggled growing up thinking that God loved me. But I had a real struggle thinking that he liked me. And I don't know how you find yourself here today, but my hope and my prayer for you is that when you think about God, you would think he really does delight in me. He's not worn out with you. He's not frustrated with you. He's not exhausted that you keep coming to him with the same things that trouble you. Maybe I put it this way for those of you that are parents. I have two daughters. Do I delight in my girls? Yes. But do I desire that my girls know that I delight in them? I really do. I do delight in them. I want them to live their life from a place of knowing that their dad and their mom delight in them. Because what you think about that, what they think about that, it will impact how they walk through life, right? And I know maybe some of you are going, well, Jason, this is very basic. Yeah. It is, actually. But what's so interesting is that we have no problem believing that life is hard. We have no problem believing that life is difficult. We have no problem believing that life has challenges. We have no problem believing that life is full of pain and suffering. Yet this, that he would love me and delight in me. Well, that's tough for some of us. Why? Because we know us, but do you know him? Not about him. Do you know him? Because what comes to your mind when you think of him informs and shapes. And if you know God loves you and delights in you, well, that does mean that not that hardship goes away, not that pain goes away, not that suffering goes away, but it shapes how you walk through those things. No matter what's happening in life, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your anxieties on him because, why? He cares for you. And what you begin to see as you walk through this life from a place of he delights in you, he has saved you because he delights in you. Then you begin to walk through this life knowing that God is not just the God who saved you, because he did. If you know him, you walk with him. He's also the God who sustains you. Look at verse 21. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He restored me because of my innocence, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not turned from my God to follow evil. I have followed all his regulations. I have never abandoned his decrees. I'm blameless before God. I have kept myself from sin. The Lord rewarded me for doing right. He's seen my innocence. Verse 26, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, you show integrity. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. You rescue the humble, but your eyes watch the proud and humiliate them. Oh Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord lights up my darkness. In your strength, I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale any wall. Now, if you're paying attention to what we just read here, you're going, woohoo! All right, now this is very interesting. How is David, I mean, you've been with us throughout the study, right? You know everything we've already talked about, right? Yeah, you know the story, yeah. So how in the world is he singing this song? Author Dale Ralph Davis, I was reading and I thought this was so good. He said, is David dragging in a little Santa Claus theology of works righteousness? Does he claim too much for himself? Has he become blind to his own sinfulness? And truth be told, there's another whole message or two that we could do here. But as you read and as you study, what you see is in these verses, David is actually remembering the covenant faithfulness of God. Let me remind you of something that I talked about a few weeks ago. God had said to David, my favor, or in Hebrew, hesed, which means faithful love. So God says, David, my faithful love will not be taken from you. I'm committed. And nothing will stop or break or hinder my commitment. Hey, David, you're gonna sin. I'm committed. David, one day you're gonna die. I'm committed. David, your offspring are gonna have some issues. They're gonna sin. I'm committed. David, you're not gonna be committed. And I just want to let you know, I'm still committed. Why? Because our God is a covenant-making, promise-keeping, redeeming, saving God. And if he is those things, then he is also a sustaining God. Hang with me. He can't be covenant-making, promise-keeping, saving, and not be sustaining. And I believe what David is articulating here in chapter 22 is the reminder that as he did sin, there was what? There was repentance. He's not declaring himself sinless. He's not declaring that he's perfect. He is articulating his righteousness, his right standing in the covenant, which was only made possible back then through the sacrificial system. So the righteousness is not of his own doing, just like your righteousness in and through Jesus is not of your own doing. Because what David saw dimly, we see fully in Jesus. Why? Because our God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. He is a saving God, which means he is our sustainer. And he is your and my sustainer, not just in our sinfulness and repentance, but also according to David here in these verses, God sustains us in the midst of testing and trials and hardships. If you go to the end of that little passage section I just read, verse 29, oh Lord, you're my lamp. The Lord lights up my darkness. So the imagery would be imagery that we're all very familiar with. We've been in dark places, yes, with a small light, absolutely. And we can't necessarily see everything, but we can see only what is right in front of us. We can see the direction of the next step. What is that? That is a picture of sustaining. And right now, for some of you here, you would articulate being in a dark place and you can't see the entire path forward. All you can see is the next step. And I lovingly want to encourage you and or remind you that he is your sustainer. Hey, and even that is his great joy. God, it's me again walking through hard things. Do you believe that your cries are heard by God? Do you believe that he is your sustainer? Now here's a question for some of you. Hey, Jason, how would you come to a place that when you think about God, what you think about is what David's articulating, is that he's a God who, he hears us? Yeah. He's a God who has saved, redeemed us? Yeah. He's a God who sustains us? Yeah. And why is that again? Because he delights in us. Because here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to rush past this thought. If you're here today and you have not known God as your Redeemer in and through Jesus, if you haven't experienced or known him to be sustainer, if when you think about God, those words or synonyms for those words aren't in the first 100 things that come to your mind, then what I want to acknowledge is that you actually might have some frustrations with our study through the life of David. Because as we've studied, what have we said over and over again? What we've said is David is a flawed and sinful man, yet he is also called a man after God's own heart. Because what we keep reading and seeing is how David, despite his flaws, despite his moral lapses, despite his refusals to live out of his man after God's own heart identity at times, he still feared God, trusted God so much that he could genuinely repent and receive God's mercy and write a song about it. And what I don't want to assume is how you're hearing and processing this study. So I'll stop and ask us a question. Do you have a category for a believer like David? And if you were to say, I really don't, I'm not sure I do, then we would love to talk with you about that. And somebody from our team here would love to have a conversation with you about it. But with full transparency, what I want to share with you is that you've stepped into a church, you've found yourself sitting in the middle of a group of people who do have a category for someone like David, because it's also in many ways our category. In and through Jesus, many of us would say when we think about God, we think he is our Savior. And because we're in Christ Jesus, when we think about God, we think he is our sustainer, that he is Savior, that he is sustainer, that he is your solid rock, that he is your firm foundation. And that no matter what you're walking through, you'll praise him in the storm because you know that he will sustain you in the storm because he has saved you. And if he saved you, he will sustain you. Hey, because he delights in you. The Jesus on Display podcast is produced right here at Fellowship Greenville in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Follow and share this podcast with anyone who might be interested or curious about our church community or how storytelling unites us and helps us feel more connected. To actively keep up with what's going on at our church, head to our website at fellowshipgreenville.org, follow us on all social media platforms, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks so much for tuning in. Grace and peace to you for your week. We'll see you next time.